Be our Bibles this morning, the book of Luke, chapter 4. We're going through a series, The Man Christ Jesus, here in our Sunday morning hour, and be doing this through the rest of the year. And so we just want to look a little bit about the life and ministry of Jesus. There's a lot more than we could look at in just a few months. But there's actually so much it couldn't all be written down. So I think it's okay we can't preach in just a few months. Amen. There's a lot of things going on there. And so but I want to look at, just feel compelled to, looked at a lot of the early church, other things. But, it's all about the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so what we find in the name of Jesus Christ isn't just not just a name, it's not just a title, it's who He is and what He's done. And He is Jesus Christ our Lord. And we find this concept through the Scriptures, and when they're talking about Him, and when He wants to introduce Himself, and when He does introduce Him, when they talk about Him, one thing that the Jews of that day could not accept is that He is Lord. And they could accept all other things about Him, but we find here that He came. And today we're going to look at, this morning, a message, Jesus at Home. Jesus at Home. Luke chapter 4, I'm asking you to stand again. I killed a little time to let you sit, but now let's don't get your knees, keep a little bit oiled. Then you can sit down. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. You glad to be here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad we're not sitting in the dark or having generators run so we can try to preach over them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness, thankful for your word and your truth. We're so very thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray as we look into your word and look at this life and experience and ministry of Jesus Christ, Lord, that it might affect us. Lord, that we've come, that Lord, I pray that we've came this morning as those that desire to hear and receive your truth. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, would you have your will and way with us today? And Lord, give us a tender heart, hearts that will be moldable. And Lord, I pray that you'd have used this message this morning in a way that would help us to be less like us and to be more like you. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So number one is this: Jesus preaching at home. Jesus preaching at home. Now, first of all, we find it was, as was his custom to do. Look again at verse 16. He says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." I want to start right here, right out the box this morning, is with this. The custom of Jesus was to go to the synagogue. That's what it says there, right? As was his custom. It's what he did. It wasn't a question. It's what he did for the Christian today. It's for us, is to go to church. We don't go to the synagogue on Saturday. We go to the church house on Sunday, right? It's kind of what we meet together. To be like Christ is to not be optional to go to church. This was Jesus' custom. So he was. It's what he did. It was when we talk about his custom, I mean that was his pattern. It's what he did. It's what he was in the habit of doing. It's what he was. Even though, can I just say this? Even though at the time the religious system of his time was corrupt, he still went to the church. Folks, can I say this? Even though he didn't need instruction, he still made his way to the meeting place of God's people. One cannot talk about their good Christian life while forsaking what was Jesus' custom. We get a little uncomfortable this morning. I mean, you're here. Amen. You're like, amen, that's me. You're here this morning. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good that you're not? Wouldn't you hate to hear this message and not be here? Amen. You're like, well, okay, how would I hear if I wasn't here? Well, be a little facetious here. I'm just saying, listen, this was his custom. This was what Jesus said. This is what he did when he came in. This is what he did. This isn't, you know, listen, there's so much more here, so I don't want to dwell on this anymore, but I do want us to say that it's clearly taught right here. This is what Jesus did. We ought to be like him. But there was delivered unto him the scriptures. Look at verse 17 again. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written. I want us to understand something that we may not realize right here. Okay? We've sometimes there's stories in the Bible that we kind of zip through and we kind of focus on one part, so we kind of miss the context. It happens to all of us. We do it through the years. We kind of do this kind of thing. But I want us to realize something right here. They gave him the Scriptures. Okay? Jesus was there. They brought the Scriptures. They gave it to him. They knew about his fame already. By this time, they knew about the famous Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, that's how he was called, Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? Now he's at Nazareth. They knew about his fame. They knew all the things that he had done. They wanted to hear from Jesus that day. So they brought the Scriptures and gave it to him. He didn't just take over the service. He came in. They said, hey, it's your turn. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Or at least they thought they did. Yeah. I love this kind of stuff because we're sitting here like, you ever ask somebody a question thinking they agreed with you? And then about halfway through, you realize they didn't agree with you, but what they were saying you couldn't debate with. You're like, you're trying to find that exit door out? Like, okay, never mind, just kidding. I thought we were on the same page, but, you know, listen, they thought they wanted to hear from Jesus because they, listen, Jesus is going to go right to the heart of the matter. He's going to go right to it with them. Verse 18, he says this, the Spirit, he finds a place there in the book of Isaiah. Verse 18, by the way, Isaiah is a pretty good sized book. He didn't just kind of, oh, hey, here's something. No, Jesus went, it says there. He found the place. He found the place where it's written. Jesus flipping through, I know right where I'm going to go. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is what he says. By the way, this is what it says in the book of Isaiah. Because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know something that's awesome about Jesus? When he preaches, his preaching becomes new Bible. Isn't that awesome? He's reading something, it becomes new Bible, because it's him. I thought that was interesting. Okay, maybe not. Jesus went... Yeah. Some things, what? This is what I do. You know what I mean? Y'all like, that's not really that exciting. It is to me. I don't know. It's just, when I say something, you're like, yeah, okay, well, if I read it, I've read it. When Jesus reads it, it becomes new Bible. Anyway, forget it. So, Jesus went to a passage that was known specifically to indicate, to be an indication of the Messiah. Where he went to in Isaiah was speaking of the Messiah. It was talking about when the Messiah was going to come and what he was going to be doing. And he went directly to that. What Jesus was doing here in reading this passage was stating that he was the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He went right to it. Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He just went right to it. Not mean, not harsh. Folks, we don't have to be proud about how coarse we are. You understand? We ought not be proud about our... But Jesus went right to it. We're not going to get in... I think sometimes in our society today, we get so worried about trying to be so politically correct that by the time you're done trying to deal with somebody, after you're done, you're like... Did I even share the gospel with him? I don't know. You know, and so it becomes this. Jesus went right to it. He got right to the matter. And then verse 20, he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So the course of ministry in the synagogue during that day was a little different than how we do it today. Right? The whole course of how we deal with services and how they dealt with service, it was a little different. Some things we have the same. The reason I like to do what we do Sunday mornings, because what they did is they would stand when they would read the preacher would get up, he'd stand, he'd read the Word of God. They often, even from the old, way back in the Old Testament, they thought it to be respectful to stand while you're reading the Word of God, is to honor God and His Word, that it was something special. Right? That it wasn't just some man, this is what God says, so they stood to read. But then they would sit to preach. So I'm going to be bringing that back. Get me a stool up here. The plastic, no, I'm kidding. Nothing wrong with that, by the way, folks. Nothing wrong with it, because that's what Jesus did. But just because he did it once doesn't mean that's how we all, you know, you understand what I'm saying. So now we find Jesus sitting down. All eyes are on him to see what he's going to say about this passage. You know, he just went right to the passage that said he was the Messiah. And of course, he couldn't be the Messiah because nobody can ever be the Messiah. It's kind of how they thought. Nobody could ever be the Messiah, so how could he say, who does he think he is? And so they're all sitting there listening like, okay, what is he going to say about this? You ever hear me bring out a passage, you're like, what's this babbler going to say this time? And so anyway, here he goes in verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He doesn't mess around. He's just going right to it. Here's what it is. Again, he was not there. Jesus was not there to perform. He was there to make the truth clear. There's always only been one way to be saved. From the beginning to the end, there's only ever going to be one way to be saved from the burden of our sins. From the burden of our sin nature, there's not different ways. The dispensational truths don't say that there's different ways throughout time to be saved. No way. No, it's always, only and always been one way to be saved. It's through the faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. They, in the Old Testament, looked forward to what Jesus was going to one day do. Right? We, on the other side of that break in history, we look back to what he did, but it was all him. It was all him. I think maybe we have an advantage. It's already happened. We're not talking about what was going to happen. It's already happened. But can I say, they had to believe that it was going to happen. And we have to believe that it did happen and that it had the power. So it's always been the same thing. Always one way through faith in Jesus Christ. If one cannot believe that he is God in the flesh, there's nothing else that can set you free. That's it. There's no other. Well, I believe he was a good... Throughout the Scripture, we find people that thought he was a good teacher, good master, rabbi. They called him different things. I think we can be guilty of some of the same... Maybe not. We can be kind of guilty of some of the same kind of way that we come to hear, but not really. Like we come to hear but not receive. And so they had seen what Jesus did. They'd heard about him, but they weren't really ready to believe what he had to say. But if we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, we can't believe that he is the Lord of the universe. Of all creation. When I say Lord of the universe, sounds like some cartoon or something, doesn't it? You know? But he is the Lord of all. He's God. And if I believe that he is the Lord of all, and he said some things in here to me, to us that believe on him, I can't believe that and live the same way I always lived. I can't. You know, I can't believe that you're sitting in our service and you are sick unto death and you've got 3 weeks to live without me behaving different towards you. Right? If you came up to me one day and said the doctor told me I've got 2 weeks to live, I wouldn't be like, well, amen, trust the Lord. No, I mean, I may say that, but we're going to have a little bit different relationship, aren't we? We're going to have a little bit different conversations because I'm not going to be talking about what you're going to be doing in years. I'm talking to you about something like now. See how it changes us? It would change us. If you found out your family member was, you know, there's something, they've got some disease or something, and they're going to go blind. And there was a preacher who was going blind. His vision was already bad. He was going blind. And the doctor said, you're going to be, in this amount of time, you're going to lose your sight. It's inevitable. You're losing your sight. Do You have a choice now. You can either learn to braille, or you can just learn to memorize Scripture. You can do whatever you're going to do. As a pastor, he said, man, I tell you, when something like that comes up in your life, all of a sudden you get serious about the things that are ahead. A friend of mine had cancer, leukemia, and it was pretty bad. He tried everything. They tried everything. His kids were teenagers, preteen, and the doctor said, if you will go through this, we'll do this, we did the stem cell, we did this, they did everything that swelled them up, and I mean, just everything. And they said, if you'll do all this thing, we can keep you alive till your kids graduate from high school. I'll tell you, every conversation, but the thing is, he was in his bed most of the time. He was just so many times they rushed to the hospital to think, maybe is this, you know, called the family, everybody come in, and just over and over, I thought, you know, when I went by to see him, we didn't talk about down there. We talked about right here. You know what I'm saying? When we believe something, it changes us. And when we believe Jesus Christ is Lord, when we believe it, it changes us. It changes how we relate to what he said to us. There's books written on famous people's last words. You know, and last words are very important, I guess, you know. I mean, seemingly, you know, people say something at the end. And so many people on their deathbed, they say things that you're like, whoa. My uncle, meanest guy I ever knew. Maybe not the meanest, but in my family, he was just grumpy and mean. He always drank a lot and just grumpy. And he had three boys and a daughter. And just those boys were rough and always just sarcastic and... And he got cancer. And he was dying. And I went up there. I was in the Air Force at the time, and I was close to where he's at. I went up there and sat down with him. And I wasn't saved yet. Went down and sat down with him. And he said, I'm really proud of you. I'm like, what? I'm really proud of you joining the Air Force. You're kind of getting your life straight. My life was a mess. Y'all know I've told my story a lot, but... He was just glad I, you know, wasn't in prison, I think. And all of a sudden, something changed with that. I'd never seen that guy ever say a nice thing to anybody, let alone to me. I thought, wow. Something happens to us at times of life that we all of a sudden think something's for real. When people believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they believe that He is God, the Son of God, God the Son, and there's nothing else that sets you free, I'm telling you, if you do believe Jesus is Lord, it'll cause some obvious and immediate decisions in your life. Verse 22. That's what Jesus is saying there. He said, this is it today. This is being fulfilled. What that was talking about, I just did. He said, what that was talking about, I just read it and did what it was saying. That's what I'm saying. When Jesus says it, his reading scripture becomes new scripture. He said, I just fulfilled that. What you said was going to happen is happening right now, right in front of you. Today is this is being fulfilled right now in your face. In verse 22, and all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. By the way, remember I say he wasn't harsh, crude, cruel, gracious words how it came out of his mouth. Truth, with love and grace. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Sometimes people say stuff and you're thinking, did you just hear anything I said? Did you just, I've done this with people. You talk to them about the gospel and you know, and then I can remember this fellow I was talking to one time, asked him about if you die today, you're going to go to heaven. He said, no, I don't really know. I don't think anybody can know. I don't know. And I spent about 30 minutes at his door, talked to him about how to be saved, when it meant to be saved. I said, would you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, no, I've already done that. He said, yeah, I know I'm saved now. I'm like, wow, you went from not knowing, did nothing, and now you know. I'm a miracle worker. I thought, what an amazing Sometimes you'll say something and they'll look at you like, yeah, I know what God wants me to do, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm already doing. He just lays this out. They're amazed. They're gracious words. But wait, this is Joseph's son. They go right back to where they were already at. They did what people have been doing throughout all history. They treated Jesus as if he was simply man in the flesh. Just simply a man. People, many who would claim to be a Christian, have treated Christianity as if it's just something that we do. Yeah, we do Christianity, go to church and do Christian-y stuff. I'm religious, but not too religious, right? I believe in Jesus. Well, you know, if I asked you, if you told me you believed something, let me say it this way. If you were in court guilty of being a Christian, said, I do this because I'm a Christian. I've done this thing because I'm a Christian. They said, well, prove that you're a Christian. Prove that you're a Christian. Tell me what else you do in your life that says you follow the Bible. Because you're going to say my defense is I'm following the Word of God. That's why I did what I did. Well, show me where you follow the Word of God everywhere else. And all of a sudden, now you have to prove your Christianity. How hard would that be? Right? So many that say, well, Christian, well, I go to church every Sunday. Well, okay, that was Jesus' custom too. That's great. So he didn't go on Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? And so we're going on this thing, but they simply treated him as a man, and they claimed that many people that claim that he was that they're Christians, they see Christianity as just something that we do here and there. Some actions that are performed from time to time. As a supernatural moving of God. A God that can hear us. The God that leads us. The God that guides us. The God that directs us. A God who can be pleased and displeased. That's who we're talking about, folks. We're not talking about an idea. Do you know a lot of... I don't know if you understand this or not, folks. There's a lot of people that believe in Christianity that really, I would say a majority of our nation, think of Christianity as good versus evil. God versus the devil. And I'm more on the God side than the devil side, so I'm a Christian. Some folks really think that's their idea is, and I've talked to people that say, you know, I'm a pretty good person, you know, I'm religious, I'm a pretty good person, I don't do anything, but I think I'm a good person. Based on what? Not based on this at all, but based on the idea of good versus evil. It's amazing. Not faith at all, but sight. I could see in front of me. This is what they did. Isn't this Joseph's son? Who does he think he is? This is just Joseph's son. That's all that they said. So number two is this. Jesus revealing the hearts of those at home. So he's about to reveal the hearts, and this is what the Lord does. By the way, this is what his word will still do to us today. It's what he wants it to do to us. To reveal our... You know what we need? You know what all of us need more than anything is we need God to reveal to us where our heart is. It's the only thing that's going to help us to be more like him and less like us. And he's verse 23, he says this, and he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb. Well, listen, when Jesus says, you'll say it, he knows what's in their hearts. I'll bet what you're thinking. See, now if I say that, I could be wrong 50% of the time, maybe worse. But if Jesus says, I know what you're thinking, he knows. He knows, amen. So he said this, he says, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. So here's what it is, folks. They wanted Jesus to perform the miracles that they had heard about him doing in Capernaum. They wanted him now. Hey, here's some scriptures. You do the preaching today. Let's hear what you got to say. I heard these things about you. What are you going to do? They wanted, as many of the Jews did, they wanted to see a miracle. They wanted to see God do something miraculous. Well, they didn't want to see God. They wanted to see this man, Joseph's son, do something. What we've heard, let's see it. You ever watched a magician or a illusionist? You ever seen one of those people? I don't know if you're like me. You probably are. I don't really watch the trick. I'm trying to figure out the trick. You know what I mean? I'm watching him do something. I'm like, what's he doing? How'd he do that? Let's rewind it, do it. You know, or something. I want to know. I want to know what he's done. They're good, though. I can't ever, the sleight of hand, this and that. And I'm like, I don't want to watch the trick. They're doing a card trick. They're doing something over here. I'm watching that, and what's he doing with that hand? I can never find it because I'm not really that good at it. But, this is kind of what was going on. They wanted to see this miracle. Not that they could believe. They just wanted to see the tricks. Like a performer. Should Jesus had performed some miracle, they would have formed a committee to explain away the miraculousness of it. That's what they did. We find them doing that all the time. They would get together, the council would get together and say, well, we're going to have to kill him. That's usually what they came out to, right? They always got to the end like, what did he do? I don't know, but let's kill him. It's always how they handled, man, I'm glad we don't live in that day. You know, to where, what are we going to do? I don't know, kill him. You know, maybe it is going on. We don't know about it. Keep your head down. So, listen, here's the fact, folks. They didn't want the truth. They didn't want the truth. They wanted to enjoy a performance. They didn't give him the scriptures. They didn't present to Jesus the book of Isaiah to hear something to follow. Listen to what I'm saying. They didn't want to hear something to, what is God going to tell us today? What is God going to reveal to us from the Word of God? Could you imagine everybody being so full of themselves that they all came in and none of them thought anybody could teach anything else to them? They all just wanted to hear how the other ones were going to mess up. They had no intention. They had no intention of hearing from God, nor making any change in their life for God. They had no intentions. This is how they met on a regular basis. We find this through at least in the New Testament times. They had no. By the way, we find that in the Old Testament through the prophets, they would come and preach, and they would preach, and God would speak to them through a prophet, and they're like, yeah, no, well, let's kill him. Always went back to killing people. It's not new, is it? Humanity has been a terrible people from the beginning. So they had no desire to hear something to change. See, here can be the challenge. If we just come to church to do Christian stuff, because that's what we do. And by the way, it was his custom to do. By the way, I think if church is poor, it's not a great, we should still go because that's what Jesus did. You know, you say, well, Pastor, you can't really preach much anyway. Well, still come anyway because that's what Jesus did, all right? But when we come without expecting to receive something from God, we could kind of get this thing, well, that's Joseph's son. You know, how many degrees does he have? I watched this little video of this fella. I don't even know who he was. Didn't know who he was. And if somebody said his name, he's just an old man. Older man. I don't know. He was an older man. He's probably in his 80s, 90s. He's older than anybody here. Anyway, I don't know how old he was. I don't want to offend anybody. So he was this older guy. And this other guy is interviewing him, so the preacher's interviewing him. He says, so if you had anything to share, if you could tell the young you now, if you could tell the young you something, what would you say? He said, well, what I got to say, you're not going to like. I always like when somebody says that. He said, I've got several degrees. He said, but if I was going to, I would say avoid seminary. And I don't know this guy. I'm just saying his thought. He said, you know what I would say this is, get to know your Bible. Pray. Get to know the Lord. receive from. Get to know Him. Experience the Lord. Not all that other stuff. I thought, wow, here's this. You know, when you get later in life, you learn things that you wished you'd have known. Right? By the way, we do that through life. You know, when I was in my 30s, I wish I'd have known that stuff in my 20s. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of as you go down and down the road, I'm going to look back and say, man, you was an idiot in your 50s. You wish you'd have known that then. Probably. But they came, and they had no intentions of actually hearing from God and letting it change their life. So Jesus continues in verse 24. And He says, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So that statement is actually, it was a well-known proverb among their day. Not only among the Jews, but also among the Greeks. It was just a well-known statement of a proverbial type of thought in this way. Jesus was simply pointing out their inconsistency and their hardened hearts. See, they were too full of themselves to let the truth set them free. They were too full of who they thought they were to let the Word of God change them into what He wanted them to be. And this is what He's trying to get across to them. And He's going to deal with this in a very interesting way here in the next few verses, verse 25. He says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. Elias is the Greek way of Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. So Jesus now tells them of the story of Elijah, who when he was running from King Ahab, he was not sent to one of the widows of Israel, but to a widow of a pagan nation. So you would think God would use one of His people to sustain and keep alive one of His prophets. He said, but no. No, He went unto to Sidon, went to Syria, went to this. And so, not that there was no Jewish widows available. Obviously, there had been many available. But evidently, none available that would follow by faith the God they should have known. And again, He gives another example, verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. Wow. So the first person to ever be healed of leprosy by the prophet of God was not even a Jew. First person to ever be healed of leprosy, not even a Jew. No, not even one of God's people. Those that should have been in the greatest places of spirituality to be able to have faith to trust the power of God, couldn't. The people that were there, they were God's people, God's chosen people. They had prophets, they had priests, they had the Word of God, the synagogues, all these things, all the people that were around. Most people wouldn't be the ones that were trusting God. Should have been in the greatest place, but they could not. So it was an idolatrous man from Syria who came and followed a ridiculous plan to go wash in the river 7 times and did it by faith. Not those that claim to know God, but one far from the truth. Those Jews in Nazareth, they thought, man, thank you for sharing this with me. I didn't really understand that story. Anybody believe that's how it went? No. The Jews in Nazareth were hoping for a show. But they got cut to the heart. Could you be cut to the heart? I wonder. Could I be cut to the heart? You know what it takes to be cut to the heart? Even paying attention, I guess. even receiving what God has. And here they were listening, they were expecting one thing, but they got something different. Augustine said this a few years back. They love truth when it enlightens them, but hate truth when it accuses them. Look at verse 28 now, again. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. You know what we should do? Just kill him. They always went to kill him. Man, things escalate quickly with Jesus, don't they? I mean, I love Jesus. Even aside from him being the Savior, I just like how he just went around and just, let me tell you the truth, calm and graciously. Gracious words, and folks are like, they're so compelled to just, I'm afraid a lot of people sit in church and we don't even get any of it. Come out after, preaching about somebody and how they're living, and, somebody that's living in adultery or some kind of fornication, or some kind of, and you're preaching on after, preach, that's a great message. You're like, was that you? No, you know what I mean? I was trying to help you, but no, and they're like, yeah, that's great, appreciate that. Which part? Oh, just, man, all of it. So you got some decisions to make? What do you mean? You're like, oh. This is kind of us a lot, folks. I'm just being honest, right? We're not much different than them. I like to sit back and cast stones at them because they always want to kill Jesus. I've never wanted to kill Jesus. Amen? So I'm a little bit better. Listen, number three is this. It's hard to be on the fence with Jesus. When they heard that their salvation was not in their lineage and that God used other nations to receive the prophets, they were angry. When it was really brought to the fact, sometimes things happen, it's brought to the fact that this is why he did this. This is Jesus telling them, because your hardness of heart. We find that throughout. For many, the idea that they are not what they think they are results in anger. When God reveals to us that we're not what we think we are, it's like, well, we get angry at the preacher or whoever's telling us. Some, though, those that are moved by the Spirit of God, the truth will make them free. Man, what a wonderful thing. Just like he did for each of us when we got saved. By the way, just like he does for each of us when we grow in the Lord. Becomes something that we hear, and it begins to be something, that truth that I just learned today, I'm going to put that in my life now because he's told it to me. And it changes us. And we become less like us and more like our Savior. It's a wonderful thing. These folks in Jesus' hometown didn't go that way, though. Didn't go that way for them. They got angry, filled with wrath, and immediately went against Jesus. Rose up and thrust him out of the city. Want to take it? Listen, I've had some things happen to me through the years. There's been some hard times. And the song the girls sang, there's been some times and I wouldn't change any of it. That part's a little tough. Some of the things I would change would be a little bit better. But we know God has to take us through some things, do some things in our life. I've never been driven to the edge of a cliff by people that wanted to throw me off on my head that I know of. I mean, maybe I was backed up to it. And I don't know. Maybe you're like, if you only knew, preacher, I don't want to know if that, if people wanted to kill me, I don't want to know about it yet or ever. But I've seen many folks that the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ made them more angry than it did glad. Can I tell you, if the Word of God upsets you, the problem isn't the preacher. Amen? I'm so glad that the day that I walked into Bible Baptist Church in Sioux City, Iowa, and the preacher said that I needed to follow Christ, that I was on my way to hell, and I wasn't saved. I'm so glad that I didn't get mad at him. Amen. But I let the truth actually penetrate my heart. They wanted the truth. These folks here in Nazareth, they wanted the truth as far away from them as possible. So the plan was to destroy the truth. Verse 30. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Jesus is awesome. They take him to the edge of a cliff, and he just I don't know, I just imagine this. Where'd he go? I don't think he used any supernatural powers here. I think the people are so, Jesus was just smooth. I don't know. He was gracious, and he just got out of there. And remember what Jesus said about the works that were done in Capernaum? Here's what he said. He said in verse 23, he said, "You will surely say that unto me, this proper position, heal thyself, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, listen, this is what he wanted to do. They wanted to see the works and wonders of God, but they wouldn't receive the Christ. They wouldn't follow him. I'm telling you, folks, if we want to see God do something in your life, if you want to see something, beyond what you could do without him, it's going to take a level of faith that's beyond you. And I'm telling you, we all want that thing, but are we willing to trust him and follow him in that thing? Putting him first is so much the beginning place to say, God, I'm just going to put you first. I'm going to trust you. And what you do with me, I'll accept. I'm telling you, there's joy. We talked about that in Sunday school. There's joy with that. So Jesus, before I make this statement, go back to this. So they wanted to see the miracles, the wonders that Jesus did in Capernaum. But they wouldn't receive it. And Jesus knew they wouldn't receive it. He knew their heart. He knew they wouldn't receive it. So he goes back to Capernaum where they would receive it. So we're about done. We're going to conclude here. Close my Bible. Who are we this morning? It's the question, the challenge for us. Who are we? Are we those that have no need for a physician? Those that are already so well equipped that we no longer need the Lord? Or are we they who have come to receive His truth, that it might continue to do a work in our lives? The Lord's plan is for us to be, I don't want to use the word evolving because that word's been messed up. But God does want us to be conformed, changed. Right? Transformed. And by the way, folks, that doesn't happen overnight. It's not a one-time deal and we're completely transformed. It's something that sometimes we struggle like the caterpillar. Got to squeeze some of the sin out. So sometimes it's a little painful to come out as a moth. I don't know, man. Or a butterfly. How about let's go with a butterfly. But are we those that, I hope we are, folks, those that say, God, would you, I come wanting you to do something. Would you give me something, God? In spite of the preacher, right? In spite of how it's presented, God, would you give me something that would help me to continue that transformation process into what you want me to be, that I might have the joy of the Lord? When Jesus comes back to this earth, when he comes to this church, will he find any faith? Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you would help us now this morning. Lord, I know we have folks here that do desire you to do something in our hearts. And Lord, it's not always an easy process. And Lord, we go through times of challenges, and yet, Lord, we're reminded in this passage this morning that many times, even those that knew Jesus and should have been really in a great place to follow him were the ones that were just looking for a performance. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Would you stir our hearts? Convict us. Lord, would you cut to our hearts and help us to see those areas in each of our lives individually that need to be convicted of, changed, and might see you as you are, Lord. I pray that you have your will and way in our hearts this morning. Listen, as God, if God spoke in your heart this morning, folks, I pray that you'd come to the altar, even if it's just to say, God, I want you to know, and I want others to know that you've spoken to me. Maybe you just want to be an encouragement to others and say, listen, God is moving. There's some things in my life. How about you today? Is God speaking to your heart?